So today's sermon is about Christmas lights. Everybody excited? Have you ever been here, done that? Yeah, every year, I've learned over the years how to be a little bit neater than this guy, okay? But it can be a little complicated. Depends on how you do. How many of you have a tree already up with lights on it? Look at these early birds. I'm hoping maybe tomorrow we can tackle our artificial tree and put the lights around it and get everything. But it's a joyful thing. We like to do it. In North America, and particularly the USA, a lot of guys go out, and this is quite modest to some standards, but you can imagine the work to decorate your garage doors and your main entryway, and then the tree outside. And who would like to do that roof line? Not me, no thank you, you know. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, a few guys have. Brent has, okay. But look, it can get a little more complicated, right? And then we had a friend who had a whole basement store area for all their boxes and their Christmas decorations. And it got quite elaborate. A little house in my home area in North Carolina is called the Biltmore House. It's actually the largest private residence in the United States, built by George Vanderbilt Railroad and steel magnate in the 1800s. And so that's a beautiful tree on the lawn out in front. But inside, there's over 75 trees, and one of them, well, here's a picture of a few of the trees, but this one is 34 feet tall. It's a Fraser fir, and you can see it takes a lot of guys to put it up. It's in the Grand Banquet Hall, and beautiful tree. And for $50 to $100 US, you can go see it during the Christmas season, as well as the entire Biltmore House, take a tour. But this is the tree. Did I miss the guy? Yeah, I did. Do you know this guy? This is David Richards. And he loves to create Christmas light displays. And he has set 4 Guinness Book of World Records. And he just finished one. And where do you think he's from? Canterbury, down under. Yeah, this guy. He's a famous guy, David Richards. He's known as the Christmas light bulb guy. And this tree... This tree is 72 feet tall, and it has the distinguished award of having the most artificial light. It's an artificial tree with the most lights on it, over 500,000 lights. This guy's a nutter, right? Well, you begin to wonder, you know, we'd say Jesus is the true light of Christmas. The Cecils are the family now. The Vanderbilts have died off, and the Cecil family now are the inheritors of the Vanderbilt thing. But you wonder if they're thinking, when they put all that up, you know, we're going to display the magnificent that Christ is the light of the world. I wonder if Mr. Richards, if he really thinks about Christ being the light. I don't know. I really don't know. The Cecils may be believers and think, yeah, this is the festive time we celebrate Christ with light. This pastor, I was reading his commentary, Richard Phillips, and he was telling how for him it's a very religious experience to put his lights around his tree and then turn them on. It's not so much for me. I got to be confessed. You know, it's just I like tree and lights. It looks pretty, but it's not like I'm thinking that Jesus is the light of the world when I put those lights on. Now, I don't want to pour water on your party if you do, okay? But for me, it's you know, it's a tree with some lights on it. It looks nice. Just want to make a disclaimer before we get started. There's nowhere in Scripture that we're told to celebrate Christmas. All right? But we're not told not to celebrate it. And so those of us who enjoy the season and all that it is, it's okay. But it's not something that we're commanded in Scriptures to do. But with that said, we're approaching a subject where Christ is the light, and that is something you and I need to react to, this truth, and we need to believe it or don't believe it. And we'll let this unfold from John's Gospel. And the more I think about it, and the more I prepare this sermon, the more I realize how inadequately I have prepared. I don't understand this thing. But it goes beyond Christmas lights around a tree. It's something which the whole world needs, is the light of Jesus. Let's ask God again to help us really reflect and apply these words of His truth. Father God, I just want to thank You that You do not leave us in darkness, but You give us light to understand the significance of Jesus now and for life eternal. And so I pray, speak to my heart. Forgive me, Lord. I can't, this whole subject is just well beyond me. But somehow, Holy Spirit, take the words as we look at them in Scripture, Your very words, and let us see Jesus clearly at this Christmas season here in Discovery Bay. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beginning in verse 1 in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. I'm not even going to look at the Word. Bo sang about it, his team, the worship team. It was there, full of grace and truth. The song that was on the screen right before I came is talking about full of grace and truth, Jesus, the Word becoming flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory is one only from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14. We're going to stop at verse 13, but if you look at 14 through 18, it just supplements what we're saying, 1 through 13. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have equating Jesus as eternal being. We have Jesus being the one who is one with the Father. He was with God and the Word was God. So how can you be with and also was God instead of, you know, it's pointing to a truth of the Trinity that the Father and the Son are one. There's many verses in Scriptures that point to that. We won't go through that. But what we're doing is, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Genesis, we're seeing the first day in creation. Genesis is just another word for meaning beginnings. In the beginning was what? There was that first day they created light. Does anybody study physics growing up? Anybody like physics? When you ask the question, what is light, they come with this duality thing. It's waves and it's particles. And you say, how can it be both be waves and particles? So they come to these, there's like these two parallel truths running together that make what light is. It's very interesting. But the first day of creation, God creates light. And He named the light day and the night darkness He called night. And so this whole thing of time, and we know there's this the natural light that comes from the sun and all the other artificial lights that are man-made or come from using created stuff like wood and sparks and get all that stuff going to make a light that comes from fire. But all this artificial stuff. But all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So this is the light of creation. The whole world is His. This light of the world. He's going to tell us what life is all about. So in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome. And He's the light of creation, and He's the light of life. Everything that comes into being of life is flows from Him, but particularly for men. Now, of course, that means humankind, not just men, males. It means humankind. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness can't put it out. There's a darkness among men, and we need a light. We need this light of life. If you ever go to a party and it's kind of dull, you know, and then Sandy Lou walks in, and it's, oh boy, it takes off, right? There we go. Martin knows it. So That was an embarrassment. But several of you are real characters. Now, you want me to call out the other characters, right? But several of you, you know, you come to a party and the party picks up. You know, you're the life of the party. You bring a little light to the party, right? Well, Christ brings light to the world because we're all in this darkness thing. And this darkness thing is called death. And you and I cannot escape death. We don't know how to get from here through death to the next level. And there's only one way to get to the next level, and that's through faith, through the Son of God, who is the light of the world. And He has to come and show us how to get back to the Father. The Father wants us. He loves us. He's not willing that any of us be separated from Him, but there's only one way to get us back, and that is there's got to be a perfect person to die. And you and I know we're not the person. I've met a lot of good people in my life, but I've never met a perfect person other than Jesus Christ. He is the one who lights it up and says, this world, you want to have life? You want to have life abundant? Come believe in me. It's not restricted. You know, too many people just think, you know, if I begin to be a Christ follower, if I really believe the Bible and try to live by the power of the Holy Spirit as Christ is exhorting me to, it's going to make life no fun. Mm-mm. That's a lie from the pit. Life is going to become very satisfying. Very satisfying. Now, sometimes we Christians can make following Christ very legalistic. And sometimes we can get caught up into sins that we don't want to let go of. That can make it hard on us. That can make it no fun in following Christ. But He is our life. He is the light of the world. And darkness can't put it out, no matter how the evil manifests itself in this world. Some people think that the greatest evil in this world is disease, poverty, pollution, lack of education. Yeah, these are some very hard things that life throws at us in the world. But the biggest one is man's rebellion against Father God. We don't want to be part of Father God. We don't want to be with Him. We don't want to let Him have our life. And Jesus comes to light this up and say, look, there's all this rebellion going on. There's all this suffering in the fallen world. But you know what? It can't put it out. It can't put out my light. I bring meaning. I bring revelation to you on who God is, who you are, and what life has in store. There was a man sent from God. It was John, whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. And he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Now, this is John the Apostle writing John's gospel, but he's referring now to John the Baptist. And we know he was the one who was preparing the way for the Lord, preparing the way for the Messiah to come. And he does that beautifully. He baptized Jesus, saying, I'm not worthy to even touch your sandals. But Jesus said, no, this is for what God wants, purpose, you baptize me. And then we know John's outcome. He got his head chopped off. But he was a witness. There was a man sent from God, John, as a witness to bear witness about the light. And so this is why I call it a light of faith. And he came to bear witness about the light. I'm telling you about the light. This is the light of the world. This is not just a little dimmer, a little flame, a little candle. This is the light of the world. And I'm telling you all this that you might believe. And so this light of the world demands a reaction from you and me. It's not just one of many options in religions. No. Christ will tell us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No man has seen the Father but Christ. And He's revealing Him to us. As He told Thomas, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That all might believe through Him. And you and I have that delight to be a witness. Um, Plato said this. I don't know if you've ever studied the Greek philosophers, but Socrates and Plato are two of the big ones, right? I think like somebody named Aristotle too. Okay, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. But the real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. And so the Greek philosophers always had this thing about truth, trying to discover what is truth and go towards it. And then we know that great line from Pilate when Jesus was being crucified, says, "What is truth?" And that's what today's world is saying, what is truth, you know? I mean, come on. You know, what is truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This morning, I ran into my little guy. I told you about my cleaner last week. He's been wearing a little baseball hat. It's kind of like a skateboard dude's hat, you know? It's got the flat brim. He doesn't bend it. Like, those of us who play baseball like to bend our hats a little bit. But this guy's got the flat hat. But he's an older guy. He's 50 years old and does the cleaning around our village. And he's got this hat that says, "I am the truth." Black hat, big white letters, T-R-U-T-H, and it says, "I am the truth." And when I first saw that last week, I said, "Hey, man, you know what that hat is all about, you know?" And he said, "No." And I said, and then I translated for him in the Chinese the best way I could. And I said, "You know, after I shared with you, I said, well, man, I need to give him a track that talks about Jesus saying, 'I'm the way, the truth, and the life,' right?" And so I got Gospel of John. I had this cute little gospel track with pandas on it, and I picked that up in China, by the way, and I gave that to him, and I said, "Hey, look, you see, this is what it says, I'm the truth, that's what's on your hat," and so I gave it to him. Broken Chinese, yeah. Little bit of witness there, little bit of witness. This morning I had a friend of mine was telling me a mutual friend is coming down this afternoon from China, and we can talk to him, be with him, and someone we've been praying for to come to faith, and wow, and he's showing more and more interest in the gospel, and great, time to be a witness. Are you guys good witnesses? Have you had a chance to be a witness this week? Little ways, you know. I'll tell you one of my bad stories. How do you think these poinsettias get here? We just grow them down in the garage or something. In the storage room, and they come out. Well, you have to go to Mong Kok. Go to Mong Kok, and you go with these ladies, and they sit around looking at every store for about 2 hours. And they finally pick out these nine beautiful plants or eight beautiful plants or whatever. And then we get this thing called a go-go van. Have you ever been in a go-go van? I didn't know it, but it's kind of neat. And then they drive you back to DB. And then you put them in the office. And then you go down to the office another day. And then you get a hired car and you put it in that van. And then that van brings you over here to DC. Then you bring them all down here. And then you get somebody like Sharon this morning and wrap them all up and put them all in display. So it's a big process in doing this. Well, for the, it's like you're going to see there's a camel and a horse back here and sheep and things and they were in the office storeroom and they also have to be in a hired car brought up here and stuff. So they just don't just boom, it's here, right? But one of the big pieces is a hired car. And Caleb is so busy. Micah's holding down the fort. Caleb usually hangs out with Micah up there, but Caleb's upstairs working, getting this Christmas pageant and being a gopher for Elizabeth. But he helped me on Friday. We loaded the van. We came here, and sometimes when you get to the Sienna Club, those poles are there, and you can't drive in. Well, I was so happy because the poles were removed, and that means we can come right to the front door, and we not only had plants, but we had a lot of boxes, okay? I don't know where Evelyn gets all this stuff, but she has all these boxes. I thought I moved enough boxes the week before, And so we get to the polls, and the driver refuses to go in. I said, "What's your problem?" Well, I didn't say that. I said, "Say, dim guy named Yapla, why won't you go in?" And he says, "Because they won't permit me unless I get a permission from the guard." I said, "Man, I've done this so many times. So many times the driver lets me in." I said, what are you afraid of? And he says, "Well, if I have an accident, I'll lose my job." So if I lose my job, what are you going to, is God going to feed me? I say, "Hey, look, man, you can make fun of me and everything, but don't make fun of God." So Caleb was there witnessing all this. I don't know if he told you about it. But the volume of my Cantonese went really high, okay? Because I'm angry. Because so many other drivers have let me in. I'm trying to say, I booked the car from Block A to Discovery College, not from Block A to Sienna Club. You know, come on, what's the problem? There's nothing here. There's not a lot of kiddies running around. Nothing's going to happen. HKR owns everything anyway, HKRI. And so I'm getting hot. But when he said, "Well, what's God going to do? Is God going to take care of me?" And I told him we were a church and we were related to the school and we got along and they don't mind if we drive up, and so he says, "God, hey, look, you make fun of me, but don't make fun of God." And I said, "Do you realize your very life breath comes from Him?" And I'm saying this in a nice, controlled, calm way, like I'm talking to you right now. No, name Tia, nigga Sang Minga, hey, I been to Leia. You know, that's the way not to be a witness. So I get home and I'm upset, and I've talked this through. I told Bonnie about it, told a few of the guys in my Saturday morning group. I told them about it. I think it happened after our Friday morning time, Pete. But so I'm looking at myself, what is going on here in my heart? And it's basically is, the Christmas season is upon us. We got to go buy plants. We got to go buy gifts. We got to go do this. We got to go do that. And you know, you just serve me and make sure that I can get my thing done. Instead of, perhaps this is a person, James, you should love and see if their heart might be tender to the gospel. So this Christmas, let's be sensitive to those people we interact with in the stores and the hired car drivers, okay? People in the restaurants. I know how non-believers treat others. I can see it. But you and I are different. We belong to Christ. So how do we be witnesses for this light, and that's what we were here for. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The light of the world is not just the light for Jewish people. He's the light for everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. It didn't recognize the light. And he came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him, but what did they do? They crucified this light. There's this battle of light and darkness, but the darkness doesn't overcome it. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the, who were born. Okay, the right to become children of God, who were born. The fact is, either you are born or not born. Our friends, our neighbors, our relatives are born or not born. Who are born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And this light of salvation kind of looks like this, if you need to look on a... blood, no, we're not... We're not talking about James L. Buckner Sr. and Geneva S. Buckner's blood making me... No, that's not what we're talking about. It's not this... I just want to be God's God's son, so I'll just will it. No, it's not that. Will of others. Yeah, I just want him to be God's son, so he, you know. But it's born of God. And the right to be called children of God. Next week, it's going to be, as I prayed with you guys earlier this morning, we're going to see the little kids down here, and they're going to do their thing, you know, and some of them are really cute, right? And they're your children, and you love them, and you look at them, and they're down here doing their little thing for Christmas. But you and I are that. We are the right to be called children of God. Those of us who have received this light, those of us who believed that the Christ that hung on the cross, that went to the grave and rose again and ascended on high and gave Holy Spirit, is going to come, the second Advent. And by the way, for hundreds of years, Advent, that we know it as celebration of Advent, was a celebration of anticipation of Christ's return until the Middle Ages. That's how they celebrated Christmas. Was not looking at the little baby and everything, but hoping for the second one. That aside, here's my mathematical formula. Salvation equals true light plus true faith, and then it leads to children of God. Yes, we're all created in His image, male and female. He created them. The fact that we have life and breath, it's a gift from God. But we're not all children. It's a right that comes through faith in the light of the world. Michael Card has a song. It comes from the trilogy. He has this 3-album deal on the life of Christ. And it begins to celebrate the child who is the light. Now the darkness is over. No more wandering in the night. Celebrate the child who is the light. You know this is no fable. Godhead and manhood became one. We see He's more than able, and so we live to God the Son. Darkness could not contain it. The light has moved on. It moved from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and now we're in that process where it's moving to the ends of the earth. As we prayed this morning with a few brothers before in our prayer meeting, we see God using us to take gospel into different provinces in China. Ministries through SALT that reach not only China, but Vietnam and Nepal and the Philippines. You and I have been somewhat connected and prayerfully involved with World Vision, who's touching very, very needy lives in the Sudan. We're beginning to pray even this Christmas at the Nativity deal to help bring relief to Rohingya refugees out of Myanmar into Bangladesh. These different ways in which the light of the world is going in and through us. I was just thinking of this little church. We're celebrating its 30th anniversary on the 17th over in Junguano. We sometimes call that Junk Bay. But over there, that little church and the people who have gone out of that church into different areas for ministries that we've known and seen, it's just beautiful. In other words, this light of the world is going. And so we celebrate it. I'm just amazed where you guys go every week. You know, where are you flying to this week? Oh, Israel. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. You know, where are you headed? Switzerland. Where are you headed? Macau. Okay, okay, it gets a little dull. No. No, we're wherever you're going. You know, it's the light. One way, I think we're a little bit too busy with all this air travel. On the other hand, you, the pilots up there in the cockpit, you can see the light in certain ways that is shining, but yet you yourself have that light of Christ in you to share with your cabin crew. Yeah. Application. Celebrate Christ as a light. So, here comes Christmas, all right? That gives us a way to celebrate the light. Okay, celebrate Christ as the light. And you got to work at it. You know, Christmas can become somewhat pagan, but make Christ your light and celebrate him. Not only at Christmas, but how about every day? Okay. Live for him. And in other words, let that light come and shine in on you. Don't be afraid. What is your worst sin? What is one sin that you're most ashamed of? Just go right into the light with it. Because you know what? The Christ died for that sin. Your Christ, the Christ Jesus, who is that little baby in the manger who grows up and goes to the cross and dies, he dies for us. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, but he's died for us. He's exchanged his purity, his goodness, his wonderful love, and the ways in which we fall short. He has given you that through faith. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which comes through faith alone. So don't be afraid, okay? Look at James, look at your heart. Okay, what is the ugliest thing about your life? Take that right to Jesus. Let his light shine on you. And when he sees, yeah, you got a problem with anger, and also, you know what? You got a little problem with not wanting to share the gospel. But I love you. I know who you are. And I want to make you more of a man like me. This is life abundant. I love that song we sang, I had played last week. It was, I'm loved by you. I'm approved by you, and I and you love me. And here I am, I'm at home. I'm home in you. The guys are kind of singing like this. And that's who you are. Don't be afraid to deal with the black stuff in your heart. Let that light come shine in. And God will teach you through his grace how to get rid of that darkness and let the light shine brighter and brighter. Okay, celebrate the light, live for him, and of course, be his witness. We spoke of this yesterday in a men's group, is that if we are a safe church where we know we can gather in small groups and encourage each other to be loved and to give love, right? You care for me, you know about my challenges I'm having with parenting, or my challenges I'm having with aging parents, my challenges I'm having in the workplace, and you know you share this and people give you some encouraging thoughts and love you and pray for you, and you know you can do that with others. You know, that's good. That's what church should be. It should be a safe place. And when you share, you know, people won't talk about you or gossip about you. It should be a safe place, but also a place where you're growing in the Word of God, and you're beginning to understand who Jesus is more, who I am, and how I need His Holy Spirit to live as a follower. And you have all these good things going on, but a good, healthy church is one that is kingdom-oriented and seeking to share Christ with others. And so if you can see in your group, say, this person is growing, really growing in Christ, and there's no mission component, if you will, there's no concern for family members, there's no concern for neighbors, we're not growing. And so you and I, this Christmas, let's let our light shine. Go tell it on the mountain. This Christmas is a great opportunity. So one easy way to do that, gang, is invite a friend. Come next Sunday. Open your home to people who don't know Jesus during this holiday season, either for a glass of eggnog or if you want to serve them the whole turkey in 9 yards, I don't care. You know, but just spend time with your friends who don't know Jesus yet. Love them. and speak of Jesus. Wow. Jesus, the light of the world. Now, when he was on earth, he didn't say, you know, hey, look, after I leave, I want you to do something for me. I want you to remember Christmas. All right? Remember my birthday, buy Christmas trees and all. He didn't say that, did he? But he did say, do this. It is no little thing to come to this table. This is the celebration from Scripture that Jesus said to remember me, because you know what? You're a little thick-headed, James. You forget. So I could ask the elders to come down and help me, and we'll prepare to make a transition. Let's pray for a minute. And elders, if you'd come on down. Lord Jesus, the light that you are, we're just beginning to understand. If we'll just go to that cross and let your light shine on us, we don't have to be afraid. You're accepting us. You're saying we're the children of God. And as all these parents here this morning know, their children need a lot of care and instruction. And so are we as your children. We thank you that you're the light and your scriptures point us on how to live. And in the middle of all that, Lord, you have said, eat this bread and drink this cup. And so come now, Lord, and shine your light on us as we celebrate this table. In Christ's name, amen. So scriptures tell us that we should examine ourselves before we take of this bread and drink from the cup. And the Corinthians had a problem. Their problem was they looked down on each other. There wasn't a sense of oneness. But as you look around, I mean, these are our elders, right? And James, look around. We're only people in Christ, saved sinners. And so we come to this table on equal footing. Now, there's a way to do it unworthy, and that's to think that there's something else that makes you acceptable for God. It's only Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. Now, it's also good to look into your heart and say, is there any unconfessed sin? I'll do it in mine. You do it in yours right now, and then we'll come and celebrate. Let's let the Holy Spirit have his way. So, Father, search my heart. Search the hearts of my friends. Is there anything that I've said, they've said, we've said, whatever pronoun, Lord? Is there anything that our speech is lacking, our thought life, deeds we haven't confess and said forgiveness? We thank you. You hear our prayers of confession, silent ones. Now it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The scriptures tell us on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he looked at his disciples and said, this is my body given for you. Eat in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup and says, this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you. Drink in remembrance of me. And every time you eat and drink, you proclaim my death until I come. The second advent. He's coming. And we're eating and drinking 2,000 years plus past his resurrection. He's coming. Eat and drink in remembrance of him. If you're new to the church, just follow the crowd. We generally come down on your right and then go back up around on the left and then back to your seats. But We welcome you. This is an open communion to anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We welcome you and celebrate the light with what he's given us to celebrate with. Am I supposed to click something? Yeah, you guys can come on down.
Sometimes at night, I am afraid. Cover my eyes.
Blessings, bro.
Cover my shame. So here in the dark, broken apart, come with your light. Fill up my
I got to get the mute off. There we go. My bad. It's going to be more than just a little plastic cup and a little piece of thing. It's going to be a great feast. So remember him. He's coming. Proclaim his death. He's coming. And let's sing a song as the disciples did that very night, right before they went to the garden. They sang, so let's sing.